Whoa. There goes the first page. It's going to be shorter already. Oh, thanks, Robbie. I needed that. Thanks, mate. Let's pray. God, we are thankful for your presence. We're thankful that we can celebrate a risen Saviour. We're thankful that you have given us your written word that points us to who you are and what you've done and what you are going to do. So help us to have ears to hear, minds that are open and hearts that are soft towards you this day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are lots of words we use to describe things. I don't know what word you use more than any other, but I was trying to think of what's the best way we could describe the events and express our response to the Easter message, to the resurrection of Jesus. I'm going to get to what that word is by going back a little bit, because we have to sort of get some ideas, almost some experience around it. I want you to pretend with me, because grown-ups love to pretend, don't they? I want you to pretend it's 2,000 years ago. It's hard to pretend what it was like 20 years ago at times, but we're going to go 2,000 years ago. I want you to pretend you're back then. And you hear this name called Jesus speak. You listen to what he taught, and no one had ever taught like him before. No one had ever lived like him before. No one had ever loved as he did. So you say, I want to become his follower, and you leave everything. Leave your home, you leave your family, you leave your job. And people are saying, you're crazy. Why on earth would you do that? But you don't care, because you're convinced that this Jesus guy is the real deal. And that this community that he's gathering around him is going to change the world. And for a little while, it's an awesome adventure. And on a Sunday, not too long ago, he enters into Jerusalem. And everybody wants to make him king. They are thrilled. They are awesome. Thanks, Nick. They are thrilled. But he wouldn't be that kind of king. He wouldn't be the kind of king they were calling for. And after that, things went south really quickly. By Friday, what we call Good Friday, this man that you had given everything up to follow was dead. Not just dead, but this man that you had given up home and work and family to follow was not just dead, but crucified like a cheap criminal on a cross. It meant failure. You're in deep, deep despair. And not knowing what else to do on the Sunday, you wander back to the tomb, because where else do you go at this point in time? It's all very confusing. You get to the tomb and the stone that was blocked has been rolled away. The Roman guards are not there, and there's this guy in this shimmering sort of outfit. And he says, Jesus is not here, he's alive. And you think, what on earth is going on? So you go tell others the good news. You understand that's dangerous, because in Rome, I mean, Jesus has already been crucified. There's a good chance that you might be killed as well. But you go tell everyone, all your friends, hate is out, love is in. The crucified carpenter from Nazareth is now master of the universe. Jesus Christ has risen. Now, if you've heard those words, if you heard someone say, this guy that we've been following for years and years and years, he's risen from the dead. What do you think the first words out of your mouth might be? Tell the person next to you, actually, what do you think your first words might be? All right. All righty. Now, there's a tradition, and we said it earlier. There's a tradition that gatherings like this, that someone will say, Jesus Christ is risen, and all the people respond. And that's a beautiful sentiment. But I don't think that would have been their response. That's a bit polished, don't you think? And we sort of say it like, Jesus Christ is risen indeed. I think that first Sunday morning, when they heard the message that Jesus Christ, this guy you knew, the man you followed, this carpenter, this rabbi, he's been raised from the dead. It's a miracle. I reckon the word for Easter would have been this. Wow! Wow! Unbelievable! This is amazing! Wow's a word that you say when your world is turned upside down. When you something comes, it comes at you, you didn't see it come, you go, wow! Wow's an expression when you're dumbstruck. It's interesting, most languages seem to have this word wow, even though it doesn't really have a great meaning attached to it. Wow, in a moment of shock. You know the other term that's the response that's used by most people when something shocking happens? Oh my God. And I just wonder if there's a little bit of something in all of us that might point to the fact that there is something more. I mean, we hear that, if you're here and you're a Christian, you hear that and you go, oh my goodness, Glenn, I can't believe you actually said that in church. But what if there is something built into us that might suggest there's something more? Something bigger? I want to talk today about the wow of Easter. Because I think it has something to teach us. The universe is filled with wow. You think about, is the earth big to you? It's not a trick question. Is the earth big? Yes. You're not going to walk it in a couple of days, are you? But the earth is not big. That's the earth in the Milky Way. Just, if I can't hold still up, just there. Wow! Doesn't that blow your mind? That's just the Milky Way. There's universe beyond universe. John Lucas could probably tell us more about that sort of stuff. See John afterwards. But that's a wow. The earth compared to how big things are, wow. There's all these things that happen in history. The Wright brothers, was it late 1800s? Someone can correct me, but I am a bit of a trivia king. Late 1800s. And they get into this machine. All of a sudden, people begin to fly. And then a couple of decades later, maybe a few more than a couple, but not that many, a man named Neil Armstrong takes his first step on the moon. Wow! Who remembers seeing that? Yeah, I didn't. I was way too young. In fact, I wasn't even born. It's a wow moment, isn't it? It still blows my mind that someone has walked on the moon. But beyond that, in the 90s, there was another wow moment. An amazing wow moment. When the Lions won 3 premierships in a row. Richmond's never done that. I'm just saying. Won 3 in a row. It just goes to prove that God is good and that God is alive in this world. It was a wow moment. There's lots of wow moments out there, but can I also say that every one of us experiences wow moments in our lives, don't we? We all experience wow moments. Birth, what a mystery. It never ceases to amaze me. I remember being in the hospital with Vicky when the kids were being born. And Jacob was born and it was noisy and it was messy and all these things were happening. And Jacob's born and I went, wow. And then not too long after that, there was a different wow because Zoe didn't want to come out. And I remember them wheeling Vicky away in no time at all and me trying to get these stupid things, clothes on that you're supposed to wear to keep yourself sterile. And I did not even get in there. That quick, I did not even get in there. And I walked in and saw Vicky crying, but I heard my daughter crying. And I went, wow. Wow. There they are. That's a couple of days later in special care nursery. But it's a wow. If you've ever been, who's been to the Grand Canyon? First time you see it, what do? Wow! It's amazing! The second and the third and the fourth time I did the same thing. Wow, thank you! Wow! I met a beautiful girl, a beautiful redhead, chased her for 18 months, proposed to her, and she said yes! I just like showing that photo because I just love it. The universe is built on a wow, but our lives are as well. There's birth and death, and they are both wow. But I want to talk today about the greatest wow. I want to talk about 3 truths about the resurrection of Jesus, and they're really simple. That the resurrection really happened, the resurrection changed and continues to change everything, and that the resurrection is deeply personal. We're going to skip through these as best we can. First one is just the resurrection really happened. This is incredibly important because in our day, often there's some ideas floating around about Easter. And it goes something like this. Well, Jesus probably existed. He was probably a really good man. He probably was a great teacher, probably deeply inspirational, but he was just a man. It's just stuff happening at the natural human level. And when he died, the people missed him so much that some folks still felt like he was there in spirit, you know, still lingering on. They felt his presence. And so they turned into mythical stories about the resurrection. Kind of a vision of or folklore. But because they were ancient world and ancient people, they were quite naive. They weren't very smart back then like we are now. Can I just say, if you've ever been to Rome and seen the Pantheon, I've never seen a dome like that in our day and age. They were pretty smart people back in those days. But this is how it goes. And people say they were quite naive. And some of them took it literally. Some of them took it seriously. And they shouldn't have. And they're really just stories that are symbolic in meaning. They're just mythical stories about hope and the re-emergence of life. It's quite often what we hear these days, right? I want to explain for just a few moments that for the New Testament writers, the resurrection did not mean that. It was not understood in that way at all. They were presenting something that actually happened. And a lot rides on this. There's a guy by the name of Richard Borkum. And he wrote this book, Jesus and the Eyewitnesses, the Gospels as Eyewitness Testimony. A fantastic book. And he talks about how in the ancient world, particularly in Rome and Greece, there were these people who were quite serious about writing about history, about what really happened. And they believed to write serious history, they had to talk to eyewitnesses. Those people who were still alive and had actually experienced or hopefully been participants in whatever event they were writing about, the war, whatever it might be, so they could write about it honestly. So quite often, history is built on eyewitness testimony by ancient historians. And they were serious about this. The Gospels offer us some of this historical evidence. I don't know if you've thought about that much. But the Bible itself, the Bible has more historical evidence about Jesus than what the world has about Caesar. Did you know that? Yeah, people never question whether Caesar was real or not. In the Gospel of Luke, we're talking about the resurrection really happened and why. And we read this. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. This is Luke. Sorry, I forgot to fast forward that. This is Luke in the opening of the Gospel of Luke. Now, whatever you think about this writing, it's not intended to be symbolic. Again, Borkum writes that the ancient histories that were meant to be taken seriously, eyewitnesses played an incredibly important part. In fact, they very much played the role of what we have in footnotes these days. Who's ever written an assignment at university level? Who's ever written an assignment at high school level? Footnotes are used for a number of different things. But one of the reasons we have footnotes is to say, look, we want to get the point across. Look, we're saying something serious here. If you don't believe me, you go check it out at A, B, C, and D. These eyewitnesses, these gospel accounts alike, have footnotes in them. You can check this stuff out. It's what all serious academic work does. In physics textbooks, peer-reviewed journal articles, research, there are footnotes. But in light, fluffy symbolic stories, there are no footnotes. There are no footnotes in The Cat in the Hat. There are no footnotes in I Like Green Eggs and Ham. I'm Sam, I Am. I do not like green eggs and ham. There's no footnotes in The Very Hungry Caterpillar. You see, what I'm trying to show you here is that the resurrection is real because of the eyewitness testimony. These stories are drawn from eyewitnesses, and they're all over the Gospels. There's another one in Mark. Why would someone write like this in Mark if it wasn't because it was real? He says this, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by, and they forced him to carry the cross. Now Mark notes that there's a man named Simon. Simon wasn't that unusual a name. So how do you distinguish him? The particular Simon came from Cyrene. And then to make it clear who he really was, he notes he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now why on earth would someone include this sort of detail? I mean, these guys, Alexander and Rufus weren't famous. Why did they include it? Because they were still alive when Mark wrote the gospel and they're part of the community and they could say, these guys are still alive. If you don't believe me, you can go and ask them and check it out. This really happened and it matters. We see the same dynamic of eyewitness right across the four gospels. What are the four gospels? They are in order. Excellent. Just a little bit of Bible knowledge for you there. That's good. The same dynamic right across. All four of the Gospels include the names of eyewitnesses who saw the empty tomb and who heard the message, Jesus is risen. In each case, the first eyewitnesses at the tomb were women. Women! We would tend not to think anything important about this. But this would have been very striking in the ancient world, because in the ancient world, women were not regarded generally as credible witnesses. In the ancient Israel and ancient Rome, women were generally not allowed to serve as eyewitnesses in a court. They could not give legal testimony. Only men could. See, the dynamic at work in this little passage from the Gospel of Luke, we can't just read it as is, we have to understand what's behind it. Luke is writing about the resurrection, the central part of the Christian faith. And he says, it was Mary Magdalene, you notice the names here? Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others who told this about the resurrection to the apostles. But they, being the men, did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Can you believe there was a time when men were slow to take women seriously? There was such a time. The women said, Jesus Christ is women. And what did the men say? Fake news. Fake news. Even back then there was fake news. It wasn't until some of the men actually saw the risen Jesus that they learned to take it seriously. Here's the point of all this. If the stories of the resurrection were just made up stories trying to convince gullible people about some higher truth, there's no way in heaven, hell or anywhere else that people would have ever made up a woman as the eyewitness to the resurrection. And yet in every single gospel is women who are listed in this. The only reason women are listed in the eyewitness is that, in my opinion, in fact, they were actually witnesses. They actually saw this. The writers were taking the historicity of the resurrection very, very seriously. And whatever you think about these accounts, they are presenting the resurrection as something that really happened. Why? Because of the next truth. Because the resurrection changed and changes everything. To this day, history by, we to this day date human history by the life of one man. A man who lived and died and rose again and changed everything. I mean, we all have wow moments in our lives. We all have wow moments in our lives. But they don't tend to change the world, do they? I remember getting my first full week's pay when I was working. And I got it in a packet, as you did in those days. And it was cash. It had a little slip in there as well. and I pulled out the cash and I looked at my account, I'm going, wow, wow. And I got the little slip out beside it until I went to the tax office and I went, wow, that sucks. That was a moment in time, but it didn't change anybody else's world. We all have wow moments, but they come and they go and the world keeps going. Our problems keep right on going. Life and death keep on going. But once there was a guy called Jesus and he came and he taught that God is real and God is loving and he's more loving than any loving mother or father that you would know. That God cares about you. That not a sparrow can fall from his nest without God knowing and caring for it. Jesus taught that God is infinitely good and he's concerned about justice. And there was an amazing movement. And then Jesus died. And you know what happened when Jesus died to that movement? It stopped. It actually stopped. I don't think we think about this very much as Christians. We like to have this idea that Jesus died, but they all knew that it was going to be okay in the end. But Jesus died on the Friday, and the sad day, it was over. It was over. It wasn't until the Sunday, and all of a sudden, it was back on again. Thank you. A lot of people don't understand this. Christianity is unique among other faiths in this way. It's the only faith that did not develop gradually over time. One day it didn't exist in its reality, and the next day it did exist. And people were ready to die for it. And historically we know that people did. Jesus is so matter-of-fact about the resurrection and the birth of the church. We're told in the gospel accounts about how matter-of-fact Jesus is. We read this, I think it's in Mark. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. I wonder if that's just a little bit understated. It's almost like, well, what did you expect? What did you expect? His greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. On Friday, he was a crucified criminal, a failed Messiah. But today, on Resurrection Sunday, he's the Lord of the universe, and they worship him. His way of servanthood and humility and self-sacrifice and love wasn't thwarted by the cross. In fact, it turned the cross into perhaps the most recognized symbol in all of human history. And because of that, you don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live in defeat anymore. Nations will rise and fall and civilizations will come and go. Yet the shadow of this one man haunts the human race 2,000 years later like no other. Everything has changed. And you know what a wow moment is? That the power that raised Jesus from the dead is actually alive and active and around every one of us. And this is the third great truth. And this is perhaps one of the most important truths for us today. That the resurrection is deeply personal. Whatever is going on in your life, we all face this wonder of being born and then having our lives come to an end, don't we? It happens to us all. The biblical writers talked a lot about this. And in fact, we read in Hebrews, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear to bring salvation, deliverance, healing, forgiveness to those who are waiting for him. Let me ask, are you waiting for him? See, I've got a truth for you. And it's the biggest wow ever. The biggest wow of your existence has yet to come. The biggest wow of your existence has yet to come. The most amazing moment in your life will be after you die. And we don't talk about this much. But it's a good thing to think about every now and again, especially at Easter, because it will come to everybody. There's this old story about a young guy. His name's Johnny. And he goes running into his mum's room. And his mum's tidying up because she's a bit of a clean freak. And he says, Mummy, you know, is it true that everything, from the dust we come and from the dust we return? And mum said, oh yes, Johnny, of course that's true. And Johnny says, well, I'm just looking under my bed and someone is either coming or going, Mummy. Yeah, it worked better this one. See, it wasn't a good joke though, was it, Robbie? Didn't quite work. Whether we like it or not, someone is always coming or going. It's a reality. And this moment will come into your life, and life as you know it will be over. And then something absolutely amazing will happen. You will see God. You will see God. And the Bible says you will face judgment. And you will see God in Christ face to face. Wow. And God says, I will give you my grace and my love and my forgiveness for where you've messed up as a free gift. And I'll be a part of your everyday life. Every moment you live. And then when you die, you will come more fully into my presence. That one moment after you die, not only will you be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, you know what the bigger wow for you might be? You'll be celebrating your own resurrection. We actually believe, Christians actually believe, we sat in our creed all the time, that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. We are not going to be floating around, cloud hopping like spirits playing the harp, thank goodness. We'll still have meaning and purpose. We'll be resurrected like Christ is resurrected. What's true for the Son is also true for us. Jesus was raised and he had flesh and blood. We might not know exactly what that looks like, but we will be raised as well. Wow! Doesn't that do your head in? I will have hair again. In all the right places. If anybody over the age of 40 or so knows. You see, we miss the reality sometimes that the resurrection of Christ is a foreshadowing of what happens for us all. And there will be judgment. And you'll be invited, hopefully invited by Jesus to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. See, the resurrection is deeply personal. And I want us to say this liturgy together. You know the one where I say Jesus Christ is risen? Only instead of you saying he is risen indeed, I'm going to ask you to say something else. What do you think I'm going to ask you to say? Wow. And we need to do it with like gusto and joy and hope. I want to be packed with thoughtfulness and encouragement. And here's why we're doing this. Here's why we're doing it. Because the death and resurrection of Jesus means that sin, your sin is forgiven. That death, your death, is taken care of. That you can have hope. That you can have purpose. That you can have meaning. That you can have a message. That you have a destiny that love has triumphed over hate. Not just that. It means that creation itself is going to be redeemed. That suffering has been repealed. That every loss is going to be restored. That God himself will wipe away every tear from every sad eye. That sickness and sadness and grieving and mourning and weeping will come to an end. This moment will come. It will surely come. It will come for one reason and for one thing that actually happened in history. So here we go. Here's the wow. Jesus Christ is risen.
Wow!
Wow! That is a real gift to you. And that's what we celebrate at Easter. That this really happened, that it changed the world, and that is deeply personal to every one of us. But I want to talk about one more wow. One more wow right now. Because this death and resurrection power comes not just for us, not just for our own benefit, but that so that you and I can be conduits of God's resurrection power and love and hope in the world in which we live. A world who so desperately needs love and grace. And maybe there's a person sitting next to you right now and you love them, but you often take them for granted. And in this moment, remember, That's somebody made in the image of God who Jesus died and resurrected for. Wow. They're wonderfully made. Why don't you just look at that person right now and just whisper, "You're wow." Or perhaps you're sitting next to someone and you're single and you want to look at them and you want to go, "Hey, wow." Don't do that. Well, you could do that. But even more than that, there are people in your day today, there are people in your week this week that would not have heard the wow that you have been able to experience. And I have to tell you, with all the gentleness and respect that you can, without Bible bashing or knocking them over because they don't believe what you believe, to be able to present the good news of Jesus Christ living, dying and rising again. Friends, this could just be the wow for your family member or a friend in the coming day, week or month. I wonder, is the wow that you said so encouraging before a wow that will go with you from this place so that others might discover it as well? Will you be like the women who people went, "Well, this doesn't make sense. Firstly, it's women, but secondly, come on." Will you be like those women who've discovered that Jesus is risen and go and tell all those people who don't yet believe? I reckon at Easter, more than any other time, that we actually have the privilege of being able to share this message. Whilst the world might stop for a 4-day long weekend, we can help them to understand why it is that we have time to step back from our work and reflect on what God has done in Christ. And perhaps it is that this morning you're here and you've never said, "Wow, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving my sins." You're going to have the opportunity to do that in a moment as well, when we pray. In fact, let's do that now. Will you pray with me, please? Let's close our eyes and let's pray. God, so often we have so many things that we think about and engage with across this Easter weekend. God, in some way we've journeyed with you. We've journeyed from you from entering into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to your heartache and your care for your disciples at the Last Supper, to the grief of the garden. We have cried out, "You know, Father, if there's any other way," to the cross where you so willingly went and that you so willingly stayed, to your death. But Lord, we've journeyed past that to this day, to the wow moment, to the biggest wow that ever has and ever will be, that death could no longer hold you down, and so therefore you've made a way for us to not just know about God, but to be in a full and deep and loving and intimate relationship. Not just that doesn't have to be for the future, but that can be now. And so if you want to say yes to Jesus this morning, you want to say yes, "Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you that you've done something amazing." If you just want to slip your hand up so I can see. Thank you. Lord, for these people who recognize their thankfulness and their need for you, would you indeed bring your resurrection power and grace and hope to their lives? Lord, for the rest of us who in all reality are thankful, would you help us to go from this place this day in your resurrection power, in your grace and in hope? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.